This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're with Roshan, Xiaoning and Julian. In about 15 minutes, we've got the opening of the KLCI, as well as analysis from Winston Koo of UOB Kay Hian on what investment strategies will work for 2020. This is, we're talking about Malaysia here. But in the meantime, let's talk about the state of the civil service and whether there's a deep state involved. This week, several ministries will see the transfer of senior servants following requests by their ministers.
Now, the transfers involve the secretary generals from the rural and regional development, human resources and entrepreneur development ministries. Now, this is seen as Pakatan Harapan's move to deal with the alleged deep state within the civil service. Now, the existence of a deep state within the civil service has been mentioned by a few ministers, but it really remains unclear if it is an organised secret body or individual civil servants who are pro-Barisan Nasional and have yet to adjust to working under the new government.
So for more on this, earlier this morning we spoke to Tan Sri Dr. Raymond Navaratram, chairperson of the Asian Strategy and Leadership Institute, otherwise known as ASLI, and also previously a civil servant for over three decades. And when we had him on the line, we asked him for his views on whether there is any truth to these allegations of a deep state conspiracy within the civil sector working against the Pakatan Harapan government.
Well, there is a basis for it. Even our Prime Minister, in his first term, made mention of it, that it happened during his time. If that is the case, it can be even worse now for many reasons. But deep state is a situation where you find in most countries. You recall, Yes, Minister, Yes, Prime Minister, those two famous books about the British civil service. It happens, and especially in a multiracial, multi-religious country like ours, where there are many vested and conflicting interests, where the civil service is mostly Malay, it is more likely to happen more often.
And we also asked Tan Sri Raymond whether transferring civil servants will resolve the concerns.
It's always good to rotate officers. In my time, after every few years at the top level, once you're permanent secretary or KCU level, you're there. You don't move often enough. But on the way up, you can be moving around to gain experience, to keep you away from corruption, to give you wider exposure. So that's legitimate. But moving five secretaries at the same time, I don't think there's a precedent for it. It seems to be a more like a cabinet reshuffle. You have a civil service reshuffle at the top. Because you have about 25 KSUs, secretary generals. And 5 out of 25 is a high proportion.
Now, Tun Mahathir mentioned that there was such a deep state conspiracy during his first tenure as Prime Minister. We asked Tan Sri Raymond to weigh in on this, given his long tenure in the civil service.
No, it cannot be a movement because it's not seen or heard publicly. It's very discreet. It's people having similar ideas who think that their views are more important than government policy, are more relevant or pertinent than government policy. So they, in a way, subjugate the policies by their own interpretation. That's why you get problems of policy and implementation. Those who are articulate, vociferous, and determined use all kinds of tactics to put their ideas across. So that is why the civil service has to be more multi-racial, multi-religious. Because otherwise, some extremist elements, some Napoleons, become big Napoleons, and they can push their theories across.
Finally, we asked him for his suggestions on how the civil service could move on from these allegations.
One, make the civil service more meritocratic. Two, make it more multiracial. Three, multi-religious. It must at least reflect the composition of our population. Four, there must be checks and balances, and maybe a parliamentary select committee can oversee the civil service and complaints of these kinds, ministers can take up to the Parliamentary Select Committee or the Public Accounts Committee, which is a part of Parliament. These are some of the ideas I can think of. But most importantly, after 62 years of independence, I think the civil service, which is based on the old British colonial system, must be reviewed. The world has changed. Big companies, corporates, have review every 5-10 years. In the civil service, the last review was long ago.
That was Tan Sri Dr. Raymond Navaratram, chairperson of the Asian Strategy and Leadership Institute, otherwise known as ASLI, and former civil servant in the government for over 3 decades. A big question that comes to mind is he was talking about a group of people who have a particular view. So is it differing views or deep state? I think that's a big question to ask there.
I think there is a danger of the government using this as just a bogeyman detract from the real issues, right? I think a way to crudely put this is whether the government is in a position to hire and fire people who don't follow their policies and people who are actually not doing the job. Or is there a real concern or a real challenge in actually getting rid of these little Napoleons, as Tan Sri Raymond has put it?
I think the other thing to take home is the point that the government service does need this review, right? Like he says, companies get reviewed every 5-10 years. I mean, staff get reviewed twice a year. So why shouldn't the government service actually have a review after 62 years of independence? And like he said, we inherited this colonial system. So time for a revamp. And the government service should be based on meritocracy, reflect Malaysian society, and be something that Malaysians aspire to join. You know, they're proud to become a government servant.
Yeah, and then the other thing he mentioned was parliamentary select committees. I think as a nation, we need to start using them more. Get the parliament involved in more decision-making. And that's the only way you keep checks and balances, right, between the executive, the government service, and the executive branch. And moving on to the media landscape, the other thing that's supposed to keep the government in check, checks and balances, the fourth estate. It's hard times for the industry, that's no secret. Last month, Media Prima announced that it would undertake a transformation and restructuring exercise that will last until the first quarter of next year. And staff of Media Prima received termination notices this week in what's seen as the largest retrenchment exercise in the media industry.
Now, Media Prima say that the staff retrenchment exercise will significantly reduce its operational expenditure and help turn its finances around. They're not given the number of staff involved in the exercise and the cost to embark on the scheme. Some sources have cited figures of around 1,000 staff notified of their retrenchment, and rumours within the industry suggest that the firm was looking to shed as many as 1,500 jobs. Now, the Malay Mail reports that some 500 employees at the New Straits Times Press were issued termination letters yesterday, and according to its Union of Journalists, the terminations take effect on 12 March 2020 next year.
So, as a reflection of Media Prima's legacy, they are a behemoth of an organization. Of course, we know that they own most of the free-to-air television TV stations in Malaysia, TV3 and TV7, ATV, TV9. I think this is about it, right? Apart from the RTMs.
Yes.
This is a monopoly situation in private free-to-air stations, and also some of the more major newspapers in the country, the New Straits Times, for example.
Yeah, and on Saturday, a source told the Malay Mail that Media Prima was looking to halve the editorial headcount for newspapers in its stable, which, as Julie mentioned, New Straits Times is one of them, but that also includes Berita Harian and Harian Metro. And yesterday on Pressing Matters, Lynn and I discussed this with Keith Kam, who is one of our reporters who goes on the ground. He's the head of BFM News, and he knows some of these people. And although editorially we differ, these are hardworking people who do their jobs well, and it's a sad thing to watch, actually.
Yeah, sadly, they're paying the brunt of this structural decline, right? Whether it's free-to-air or traditional newspapers, as consumers shift to new media or the internet. The question is it a fair landscape? Because my point about this is that, you know, the likes of your like Facebook and Google, they offer you all this information online, and sometimes it's feeds from other newspapers or other news links. But these news links or these newspapers are never remunerated for it, right? Whereas Google and Facebook, you get this their own ad revenue
Yeah, so we ran our poll this morning. And do you still consume traditional media, given the rise of new media like podcasts and news apps? And 34% of 200 votes here said yes, but less than before, followed by I use a bit of both at 29%. Just following that, 21% say no, they prefer new media, and 16% were a pure yes, I still prefer traditional media.
But the point is, good journalism does cost money, right? Because you need actual human bodies to run stories, to go and do the investigation, to uncover information. That requires time and effort. So if, you know, sadly, if the editorial team or the number of journalists get cut off, what is the quality of news going to be like in Malaysia? And this is not something just Malaysia, right? Because it's also global. I mean, we do see newspapers shutting up shop around the world.
That's right. I think a lot of good publication, quality publications have put themselves behind a paywall and they're doing pretty okay. People are willing to pay for good journalism. But also, I'm just wondering whether the situation today in Malaysia is the result of a legacy structural issues, because in the past, the press in Malaysia was highly controlled, and some would argue even till today, the government rears its control over the press. So this idea from Lim Guan Eng, the finance minister, that the government would give tax exemptions to media companies who would avoid retrenchment is something worth discussing, because on one hand, this is not market-driven, right? And the government may actually extend their control, unseen hand over the media companies. But on the other hand, the Fourth Estate is an institution that is worth protecting. So tax exemption may be something that's desired to give some funding, to give some life
breathing
support,
space,
life
right?
support yeah. to some of these companies.
Yeah, so but in the longer term, you know, scale, I wonder if consolidation is just the way forward for media companies, and not just here, but around the world, like similar that we see with other industries. And talking about that, actually, we've seen it's noteworthy to note that Aurora Mulia, the company linked to Tan Sri Syed Mokhtar, has 31% stake in Media Prima and also has links to Utusan. So there's a bit of something to note there.
Yeah, but I don't know whether that's necessarily the best way forward, because you, in a way, you're shifting from what was a government monopoly to maybe too much media in the hands of one person. But nonetheless, you know, it's interesting to see the media landscape evolve, and let's hope all these journalists do find alternate careers.
And on that note, thank you so much for voting on our poll. Up next, we'll be taking a look at the KLCI opening numbers, as well as investment strategies for 2020 with Vincent Koo of UOB Kay Hian. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.